Hello, gentle people. This is Dr. Pookie, and I am back like a nice hard erection after your leg day workout. This is Sexual Healing with Dr. Pookie, where we get into a discussion of health, wellness, and of course, sex. And most importantly, living your best life. I apologize for the absence for the last couple of weeks. The doc has been taken down by a combination of factors. The first was just lingering unwellness from my illness trouble of the year. 2019 has been a shitstorm. And also, mom had surgery about 3 weeks ago, so just spending more time with her. Also getting used to my recording studio being invaded by a television most of the day. And finally, just, you know, mental health kind of went down. Folks getting killed indiscriminately. Idiots running the country. Just fuckery, all around fuckery. And I didn't handle it as well as I could have. But I'm human, and I'm going to give myself a minor pass on that. Because, you know, shit, life goes on. It's rough. It's crazy. And frankly, it is what it is. So let's get into it. Up first, if you would like to live tweet, the hashtag is Sexual Healing Pod. And I want to thank all of my subscribers, anyone that has done a rating for me on Apple Podcasts, any podcasting platform that you listen to, if you've done a rating there, it is greatly appreciated. And, you know, write a review. A brother loves 5 stars. And if there's a suggestion or something that's getting on your damn nerves, you can reach out. You can email me at sexualhealingpod@gmail.com, or you can reach me on Twitter at Dr. Pookie. So it's DocTorPookie. All right, so let's get down into it. It's summer. It continues. Climate change is a bitch. I just have a couple of questions. Are you eating enough vegetables? Get them light salads going. You want to eat your water in the summer. So cucumbers, watermelon, you know, wonderful things like that. Celery is one of those net loss foods. It actually takes your body more energy. You burn more calories digesting celery than you do actually eating it. Are you drinking your water? Period. Water is a catalyst in the human body. If you don't get enough, shit can go wrong. It can get real tricky real fast. So, you know, I want to make sure you're on top of that. So out there in the social media world, I'm involved in a lot of different conversations with different folk out there. And one of the things that we came across was a discussion about sexual coercion and assault, wherein there was a young man who was, I believe he was about 23. He described himself as a black twink, or a blink, as he called it. And he basically had described a sexual encounter that he had with a guy that he wanted to have sex with him, but there were some things that went down. The guy didn't initially use a condom. He did end up using one, but apparently he got a few strokes in, as I recall, a rather lusty gentleman in DC saying to me one night. And also he said that even though he felt a little uncomfortable about everything that went down, you know, he still was aroused. He was still turned on, still had an erection, but he did feel a bit forced. And so in the course of that conversation, I basically was like, baby, you basically, I don't mean to be overly dramatic, but you've been raped, at the very least, sexually assaulted. Doing anything sexually that you do not want to do, it's sexual assault. From a legal standpoint, somebody grabbing your dick is sexual assault. Somebody grabbing your ass without permission, sexual assault. It applies to women and men. So he was a little shocked by this. So I thought I'd talk about some male rape myths today. Just some things that can happen with men, two men, because we know boys will be boys, and in certain environments, shit can get real handsy, real grabby. And, you know, we just kind of accept it unless the guy is unattractive or just doing too damn much. You know, I think we're all guilty of that. I've certainly been like, well, oh, I like the fact that you grabbed me. Let's chat. Whereas a guy that does not fit in my aesthetic or just something about him is off, I'm gonna get a little salty. So we've all done it before, but I wanted to talk about some male rape myths. So I found this interesting article out of Australia on a website called Living Well, and that's basically at livingwell.org.au. And the article was titled Unhelpful Myths About Sexual Assault and Rape of Men. And they go through some of these things and talk about what they are. So I want to go through them in turn and just offer my thoughts in general, as well as how they might apply to the young man that, you know, some of us, quote unquote, elders were helping out and processing through all this. So the first myth that they brought up that's really unhelpful to men is that men can't be raped or sexually assaulted. And we basically know that they can be. Any man can be sexually assaulted. You know, it's not about your size. It's not about how strong you are. I recall testimonies of a particular rape victim who was a pretty muscle-bound guy who had just gotten, you know, he's walking, he just left the gym, walking to his car, and he got snatched by three guys in a van. And this guy's benching 300-plus pounds, and his big ass still got raped. So it's not about how big you are. It's not about how strong you are. It's not about what you look like. It's not about how old you are. It affects us all in some shape or fashion, whether it's someone that you know that maybe goes too far too fast, or someone that betrays a sexual trust. We can all be sexually assaulted. So this idea that men can't is really just, it's this idea that men are supposed to be strong, we're supposed to be invulnerable, we can't allow anything to happen to us, and that's bullshit. It really is. Now, if someone is trying to, perhaps someone smaller in stature, is like they want it, they try to take it, you may have the physical strength and so on and so forth, and the agency to fight them off. And if you do, that's great. It's still an attempted sexual assault. It's still traumatizing. You still need to talk to somebody about that shit. But the reality is, you weren't sexually assaulted, but there was an attempted sexual assault. Now, I know in different states, rape of men is, in rape in general, is defined slightly differently. So I can't give you a general thing. Most people think of rape as penetrative sex of some kind, whether it be oral, anal, vaginal, where somebody basically is getting up in you, as opposed to somebody kind of grabbing you and fondling something and flipping a nipple or whatever it may be, when it's not consensual. Okay, so yes, men tend to be stronger than women on average, but it doesn't mean we're invulnerable, because there's always someone out there who's bigger, stronger than you. And if you happen to be drugged or slipped a Mickey, a roofie, you know, ketamine, all kinds of shit, you lose control of your body. So at that point, even someone who's half your size can do to you whatever they want. Another myth that's out there is that only gay men are sexually assaulted. And again, it's just not true. The particular story that I just mentioned with the guy leaving the gym, he was straight. Obviously, it can be more prevalent. It could be seen as more likely with, you know, with gay men being sexually assaulted, because they are often dealing with other men. So certainly gay men can be more available for that or more susceptible within institutionalized settings. So you're talking about your prisons, your jails, your mental health facility, perhaps, or some sort of lockdown facility. Sexual orientation is kind of taken out of that equation, where it's now about power. It's an act of violence. It's not necessarily sexual. In prison, you have men who maybe have not gotten some pussy in X amount of years, and they engage in what we might call prison homosexuality, so to speak, where for a period of their lives, they may have sex with other men, and they may actually, it may just be a nut for them. For other guys, it's like, this ain't bad. And for others, it does become sex and an emotional thing. It runs a spectrum. But the idea that only gay men can be sexually assaulted or raped is, it's false. Because obviously in prison, straight men are raped. And just because a guy is raped does not mean he's bisexual. I had that conversation with a group of women at a recent event. And I just sat there and looked at them like, y'all really gonna walk away thinking this shit? And they really did. And, you know, I presented the case and said, hey, I used to do research on this shit. I've interviewed folks in prison that have been sexually assaulted. And yeah, so they basically believe what they wanted to believe. And so one of the young ladies, even in that conversation, and this speaks to the next myth, which basically says that men cannot be sexually assaulted by women. She said, you know, she described a story where, you know, her man was a little timid and he hadn't been, you know, eating the cooch and munching on the box. Like, he wasn't very good at it, so he didn't do it very often. She was getting frustrated about that. And so she basically tied him to the bed and threw her pussy on his face and just kind of made him do it. That is sexual assault. Did he consent to you drowning him in your fluid, sister? Hell no. Or you wouldn't have tied him up. Now, if that's part of an S&M fantasy that you might have, or BDSM fantasy, which is totally within the realm, and that's consensual at that point, if that's what y'all were doing, then great. I'm happy y'all know what works for you. And make him eat that box the way you like that box eaten. But if he didn't consent to it, if you did, in fact, tie him down, even though he said to you, you know, I really don't like giving you head, and you just took it, like this young lady described to me, congratulations, you have sexually assaulted a man. And if you had maybe pegged him without his consent, some would say certainly you've sexually assaulted him, and possibly, depending on where you live, you raped him, because it's penetrative at that point. So, you know, one of the things that often happens there is this idea. One of the reasons we say that men cannot be sexually assaulted or raped by women is because men are supposed to always be ready for sex when it's offered. And even when it's not offered, like, it's always on our minds. We don't think about anything else. So if somebody's throwing some dicks and puss, you know, some bus, then we're just like, hey, and we jump on it and jump in it. But that's not entirely true. Now, there are some men out there with very healthy sexual appetites that if they see the right piece of trade walking down the street and the trade is interested and they got that nonverbal communication down, you might be going about your business and next thing you know, you fucking somebody in the alley. It's possible. But it doesn't necessarily mean that because a person is gay or bi or pansexual and you just have really sexualized this person such that they are always ready for sex, such that if you go ahead and you just initiate sex with them without permission, you do things to them that they don't want you to do, even if you haven't overpowered them. Like, sometimes people in the middle of this, their body is responding sexually like it's supposed to. You know, if you rub on some stuff, you do this, you do that. And even if you go too far, you go beyond what they consented, dick is still hard, you know, vagina might still be, you know, secreting and staying juicy and wet. And you like, yeah. And you might take that as, oh, okay, I can continue to do this. You need to ask. If you're doing anything that goes outside of what you agreed upon up front, or if someone does something to you that you don't like, or you want to do something that you think maybe this person doesn't want to, or you know it's off the vanilla path or off the beaten path a bit, you need to say, hey, I'm interested in doing this. What do you think? Are you open to it? Are you down? the main point here is consent, because if you have sex with someone without their consent, ladies, a drunk man who's passed out and can barely move, but the dick still gets hard, if you ride it, sexual assault. That's what it is. Just because it got hard and you were talking to him and he's barely conscious, even if he says yes, he can't legally consent. If he, you know, you could go to court and tell that story and you'd be found guilty. I could see a judge setting aside whatever the jury might say, where they're like, well, you know, that's a guy and he said yes and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, but if it were the roles were reversed, if it was a young woman who was drunk off her ass and, you know, the cooch is wet and it's accessible and you ask her like, hey, you know, you want to fuck? And she's like, oh, yeah, you know, and then she passes out and you fuck her, your ass is going to jail. So it goes both ways. If someone is drugged, if someone is incapacitated in any way where they cannot legally consent, if they are not in their right mind, if they are injured and cannot practice full agency over their body, and you have sex with them, that is sexual assault, if not rape. So I'm going to move on. Something I've already mentioned. Another myth is erection or ejaculation during sexual assault means you, quote, really wanted it, unquote, or consented to it. Here's the thing about the body. The body has automated processes that you cannot control. Gentlemen, do we remember being 13, 14, 15 years old where the wind blew, or you had a memory about something you saw in a magazine, or a teacher you had a crush walked in the room, or, you know, the whoever the hot jock was on campus walked by, or, you know, the hot cheerleader, whoever it might be, and dicks got hard and you were trying to hide that shit behind a book, you know, or whatever. That's part of that script. So, like I said, if somebody, you're having sex with someone, or someone has you pinned up against a wall, and they start, you know, kind of rubbing you in your spots, whether it be your dick, whether it be, you know, that special spot next to your nipple, or your nipple itself, or the nape of your neck, or your earlobe. If they hit an erogenous zone that turns you on and your dick gets hard, that does not mean, yes, I want to have sex. It just means that your body is responding like, hey, if you want to do this, I've done my part. You decide whether you're going to do it. It's an automatic process. It is a physiological response. It's just what your body does to arousal. Your body doesn't know whether it's good or bad. It just knows it's stimulated in some way. Have you ever been, like, you've seen, well, I don't know if you guys watch a lot of sports. I do. You see guys participating in sports, particularly wrestling. You know, that's where you see a lot of, you know, partial erections in the unitard, where the dick is hard and it's obvious. Part of that is not just because some guy is rubbing on them, you know, and it doesn't mean, oh, he's gay because he's wrestling with this guy and his dick is hard. It's like, no. When you are aroused in any sort of way, and it can be stress, perhaps a certain type of stress, or just competition, your body, you know, it's heated up, it's sweating, it's doing its thing. Sounds a lot like sex, right? Your dick can get hard. Basically meaning, as people say, your dick has no mind, it has no conscience. So even when you don't want it to get hard, it will pop up and say, hey, what we doing? So if you have had sex with someone and had an erection the whole time, but you didn't really want to engage in the activity, it's no longer sex, for starters. It's an act of violence. And just because you came does not mean you wanted it. Just understand that your body is going to react as it's intended to. You were blessed with a dick that works. And guess what? It worked when it was supposed to. All right. Next myth. This one is, I asked for it, or he asked for it. So now, this is really about the idea of consent. you got somebody pinned up against the wall, which is really a coercive act. That is, it hasn't become sexual assault yet, but it's certainly assault. Or if you're blocking their way from leaving a room, you know, that's not kidnapping. But, you know, federal crime, life sentence, mandatory, I believe. But if you have someone in a coercive situation and they get a physiological response to the stimuli around them, that dick getting hard, that vagina, you know, getting moist does not mean they like it. Does not mean that they're asking you to do shit other than get out the way or leave them the fuck alone. That's what that means. So saying someone asked for it or you asked for it, the question is, if you're saying to yourself, I asked for it, my next question to you is, well, did you say yes to this? Or did your body just respond and you were like, well, I guess I want to do it. But did you verbally say, okay, yes? Or did the person ask you to do it? Or did they just do it? And you got petrified and didn't know what to say. Like, you just wanted to dial it back to where y'all were. That's as far as you wanted to go. That's sexual assault. You didn't ask for that. But you do got to say no. It would be great if everyone could read everyone else's mind. It would be great if some people could read obvious body language, anxiety, stress. Like, ooh, I stuck my finger in his ass and now he's really kind of like, he's a little tense. At that point, a good thing for you to do might be like, I notice you're getting a little tense. Are you comfortable with this? Do you want to do this? Is this too much? Give them the opportunity to at least say to you, I'm uncomfortable, but keep it right there. Let me get used to it because I do want to experience this. Or they might say, I don't want to do this shit. At which point you need to pull your finger out the ass. You need to pull your finger out the cooch. Okay? You need to take your hands off the dick. Whatever it is that you're doing that has made them have a response that you know is not an invitation to continue or to escalate things. You need to ask for consent. Those of you that are still in college, this is a surefire way to stay out of trouble. Ask for consent. While you're doing something, particularly if it's new to either of you, check in. Show that you give a fuck about them. It really does pay dividends. I've been able to stay over because I was attentive and at least showed that I was concerned about my partner and how they felt and everything else. So it's not hard. Sometimes you have to recognize that you are in control of what the little head does. It's going to get hard. It's going to come. It's going to do all these things. But unless you say, yeah, I wanted it to do that, or I wanted you to do that with me, it's sexual assault. So unless you agree to it and continue to agree, so if, as soon as you say no or stop and it continues, that's sexual assault. That's right. So this idea that you ask for it when someone goes beyond what you agreed to or what you were comfortable with, be sure to tell them no and stop. And hopefully you're able to, they either stop or you're able to get away from that person in that situation. And I pray that you are. But if you are not, and your body performs in different ways, and you're like, well, damn, I came, I guess I liked it. Didn't mean you liked it. You had to pardon the sound effects. The doc is outside. It's summer. So one of my neighbors in his loud-ass truck, I guess. So now we're going to continue. The next myth. Most rapists are strangers. That's generally not true. We know that the majority, and obviously a lot of rapes go unreported. We don't know how many rapes are really happening out there. They go unreported. But we do know and can estimate that the majority of them are by people that we know. It could be a coworker. It could be the random person maybe on your softball team. It could be your neighbor that you say hi to or that you have an affiliation with. It could be a family friend that you've known for decades. It could be your boyfriend. Acquaintance rape can happen to men as well. I say that because a lot of times we don't think about, we always are on the alert for this unknown stranger, this unknown rapist, when in reality basically says that most of the time it's someone that we know, someone that we trust, someone perhaps that we love. Mother, father, uncle, brother, sister, auntie, babysitter, you name it. At some point, you know, I definitely want to talk about child sexual abuse and processing through that and growing into adulthood and doing that work. Because it's not easy. It's really tough. But I want to have someone who does the work more consistently than I do, because I don't do the counseling. So I wouldn't be the best person to talk about it as the expert. But I'm looking for one to come on the show to talk with you about it. So moving forward, next myth is some people physically can't commit rape. Rape is not always someone using their genitals. Anyone, just about, if you have control of your body and you can manipulate an object, nightstick, broomstick, to penetrate someone's body, if you only have control of one leg and one arm and you're able to somehow masturbate someone without their consent, even if all you got is a finger that you can work and you touch somebody in a way that you don't have consent and it's sexualized touch, even though it's an act of violence, again, congratulations, that is rape. So this idea of someone is too young to commit rape is not true. There are 8-year-old rapists out there. There are 12-year-old rapists out there. There are 75-year-old rapists out there. You're never too old. You're never too young. You're never too small. You're never too gay. You're never too straight. Anyone can commit rape. Next myth says, men who sexually assault can't control their sexuality. This is often used to justify the sexual assault of women in a lot of other cultures. Certainly, folks in our culture here in the U.S. give folks in the Middle East hell about this, but the reality is, rape culture here is alive and well. I mean, it's definitely more coarse if you go to the Middle East and some of those cultures, where, you know, the men are just very upfront about, well, you know, she shouldn't have been wearing that and it turned me on and I couldn't control myself. And we kind of look at that and say, what the hell? But that shit happens here too. Boys will be boys. That's what that line is about. The expectation that men have sexual appetites and drives that cannot be controlled. And if they somehow unleash it on someone else, it's because that person asked for it. Or they turn them on in some way that aroused them and they can no longer control their urges. Sorry, not buying it. Whether you have sex or not with someone or engage in sexualized activity or sexualized violence, that's a function of your brain. Not your dick, not your vagina. Not your pussy. Good pussy. All right. Next one. Sexual assault and rape in gay couples does not exist. The reality is it does exist. And it's part of a complex of behaviors that is often referred to as domestic violence. Just like once upon a time, I don't know if the law ever said that husbands couldn't rape their wives, but certainly culturally we came to that realization that, yeah, wives can be raped by their husbands. I think, yeah, legally, men could rape their wives. They couldn't be charged with it because a wife was expected to do whatever husband wanted sexually. There are still some men out there that think that shit, but we now know that husbands still have to get their wives' consent. You can't just take it, you know, unless you have an agreement where it's like, look, baby, if you wake up at 3 and you want some, you can go and take it. Slide the panties to the side. Work that out. I might wake up. I might not. Shit. If you have that kind of agreement, then okay. I know guys that love to be woken up in the middle of the night by their partner, you know, whose dick has been in the crack of their ass all night long, and he finally just kind of slips it in. Maybe you wake up, maybe you don't. But if you have an agreement ahead of time that, hey, I like it when you wake up and, you know, you wake me up with, you know, fucking me or slap me in the face with a dick to get my attention. If that's what you say you like and you agree to it, you consent to it with your partner, then someone from the outside might say to you, well, that sounds really kind of rapey. And it's like, no, 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 because I told them that's what I wanted them to do. It's part of my fantasy. It's just part of our shit. That's my shit. Turns me the fuck on. I like morning sex. I like to just roll over before he does and get that shit lubed up and get to riding. He'll wake up with a smile on his face. I know folks that that's their shit, whether they be the person being ridden or the person riding. I know it from both angles. You can have established boundaries within a marriage, same-sex couple, or some other combination, gender, identity, expressions. You still have to understand what your partner is willing to do or not to do. And if you go beyond that without their consent, that is rape. Next myth that we talked about already, male rape only happens in prisons. It's not true. It is not true. The number for child sexual abuse of boys is 1 in 6. And there's a foundation out there, 1in6.org. For every 6 boys out there, there is one that will be sexually assaulted until they're an adult. So we're talking about through adolescence into the teen years, until they hit 18. 1 in 6 will be sexually assaulted, molested in some way. That's too many. It's just like 1 in 4 girls or women will experience rape and or sexual assault within their lifetime. That's a frightening number. So if you just look at the women in your family, if there are 12 of them in your family, 3 of them have experienced sexual assault and or rape, at the very least attempted rape or attempted sexual assault. But we're quiet about those things. It's just something we don't talk about very freely and very loudly. It's kind of one of those conversations you have when the shit get deep one night. And so that silence, it's understandable, but it needs to be broken. But it's hard. It's very hard. I'm going to move on. So, well, before I say that, just wrapping it up. Male rape does not only happen in prison. Don't drop the soap. Yeah, it's old and it still holds true in some cases because, you know, if you watch the Boondocks, the Booty Warrior is real. It's like, although he basically would just walk up to you on the yard or in the chow line or in your cell, you know, he just come up to you like, I like you. You know, I see you. I like you. And I want you, you know, and do this the easy way or the hard way. You do have that guy out there. He exists. There's video evidence of him, the Booty Warrior. But there are just as many Booty Warriors, if not many, many more, outside of prison walls. That Booty Warrior could be your boyfriend, could be your cousin, could be your dad, could be any man. And it's not to say that all men will do it. I'm just saying, it's not a certain guy. They don't always look a way that you would think, oh, this person, yeah, you gotta stay when he look rapey. What does rapey look like? It's just like, you know, I love it. Somebody's like, oh, he looks kind of rapish. What does that look like? And is it foolproof? No, it's not. Next myth. Men who have been sexually assaulted will go on to perpetrate sexual assault. the majority of men who are sexually assaulted do not repeat the abuse that was leveled against them. A lot of times, it's really offensive to these guys to say that, because it really is very traumatizing. And most people that have been raped or sexually assaulted, they're very clear about the fact that they wouldn't wish that upon their worst enemy. So to think that they would go out and do it simply because they were sexually assaulted is really, it's a faulty idea. These guys understand just how fucked up being sexually assaulted or rape is. And they want to stamp it out in the world. They don't want to add to it. Now, you do have folks that may fall in there, but that might, you know, that are sexual assault survivors who go on to sexually assault someone else. It's not to say they don't exist, but to say that it's a given, it's automatic, that it's a norm, is very much false. Up next, we have men who are raped are damaged and scarred for life. First thing, rape and sexual assault are in fact attacks and injury on the person. There's a reason that we still call men survivors. It doesn't apply to just women. However, you can still go on to have a full and fulfilling life, as well as a fulfilling sex life. You may have to do some work to get past whatever barriers or triggers that are there around your sexuality, but you can certainly reclaim it and embrace it and be as wild and fresh as you want to be. Being sexually assaulted does not mean that you are damaged goods or that you're going to be fucked up for life. This is why we have therapy. This is why Eon Levansant says, do your work. Do your work. There is a process of recovery there for survivors. There's even, I would say, a grieving process, because there's a certain amount of agency or innocence that you've now lost, that's been taken away, that you might grieve to a certain extent. But it's not a life sentence. It's not a given that your life is over, that it's fucked. It's not. Because you being raped or sexually assaulted is not your fault, and it has nothing to do with you. Whether you were in such and such situation, you wore that thong to the pool party and somebody stuck their finger up your ass, you know, the crack might have been visible or enticing, but they still have to ask for permission to go up that ass. And I've been a victim of people sticking their fingers up my ass. That man was so quick with it. I was like, shit. Before I knew it, he was up my ass and tickling my prostate. And I was like, oh shit, you know. And I was mortified. And it took me a good 3 seconds to get myself together to say, get the fuck off me. I didn't ask for that. I had on a pair of jeans and some boots, you know, and he managed to get down my pants and up the crack of my up down my pants and drawers. So we were dealing with a very skilled hoe. Okay, we were dealing with a very skilled predator that night. Now, I respect the skill, you know. If I'm part of your stable and that's just part of our thing, then I'm like, yeah, daddy, bring it. But it wasn't that kind of party. He made it that kind of party, but it wasn't that kind of party for me. All right. So don't want to belabor the fact. I just want to make it very clear that men of any gender, identity, or expression, size, shape, age, color, sexual orientation, sexual proclivities and fetishes, we can all be sexually assaulted. We can all be raped. I don't think I've talked about the incident when I was sexually assaulted, and I'm not up to it today because, you know, I'm just coming out of a period of, you know, having to spend a lot of time alone, getting my thoughts together and kind of talking myself out of the hole that I was kind of falling into. So I'm not going to pull myself in there right now. But at some point, I will share that story because I think it's important that those of us that have been assaulted, if we're comfortable doing so, we need to share our story. Because the only way to really break up these myths and start reversing the bullshit that comes with them is for people to understand that, yeah, your best friend or someone you know, someone you admire, someone you respect, someone as buff as hell was assaulted. Because it doesn't have anything to do with all that stuff. It's all about someone committing violence against you. They made a decision to violate your personal space, to violate your body, to basically say that your shit is a shit. So if you have been sexually assaulted, attempted, completed, raped, whatever you want to call it, forced into something, coerced, blackmailed, I hate that word, extorted. If somebody did something to you or forced you to do something that you did not want to do, that is sexual assault. Embrace the reality of what happened to you. And when I say that, I say don't buy into the myths around what happened to you. Really own what happened to you. I was in this space. This person, just talk about what happened. This person started doing this to me and I said no, and they forced themselves on me. I wasn't able to fight them off. I wasn't able to prevent the rape, as opposed to I came and I must have wanted it. Or, you know, he said I was turned on because I had on these skinny jeans and, you know, my dickhead was visible, or, you know, or my dick print was visible through my sweats. Doesn't matter. If you're gonna put that part into the narrative about what happened to you, that the dick print was visible and he said he was turned on by it, you also need to put in the part where he didn't ask you to play with your print. He didn't ask you whether he could suck your dick. Or if he did ask you both of those things, you didn't say yes, which means that you were violated. If you were held down or pinned against a wall by 1, 2, 3 people and things were done to you that you did not consent to, that you even said no, you actively rejected it, that's sexual assault and it's not your fucking fault. I want to move forward because I don't want a long ass episode again, but I just want to make sure that those of us out there who are survivors, there's value in your story. If you haven't gotten help, if you haven't disclosed to anyone, find someone you can disclose to. Close friend, parent, relative, whomever it is. Find somebody to carry some of this, the burden and the weight of this secret with you, because they're going to help you to move forward into the healing part of this, into getting the help that you need to move forward and not be stuck in blaming yourself or just the acute trauma. PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, is on the table with sexual assault. So don't carry the burden alone. Share it, get help, reframe it, and hopefully the person that you talk to, if you're blaming yourself in some way, they're able to say, no, that's some bullshit. What happened was, it's not your fault. This person did something against your will. So again, silence is not your friend on this. And brothers, I know that it's hard for us to admit those kind of vulnerabilities. Or you might be someone who's pretty liberated sexually and your friend is like, oh, you know, within your peer group, you the hoe. And somebody or everybody's like, child, you can't rape a hoe. You can't rape the willing. Yeah, you can. Because a hoe has limits too. There are people that a hoe may not want to have sex with. There are things that a hoe might not want to have done to their body. Don't forget, even the most gut bucket hoe out there, and I respect a good hoe, I do. Even a professional highbrow executive hoe can be sexually assaulted and raped. That's it. Any of us can be. Don't sit in silence. Don't suffer in silence. Tell a friend. Do your work. Get help. There's no shame in getting counseling. Jesus ain't gonna fix this. Jesus put, if you want to subscribe to this idea of praying it away, God put therapists out there. Even black gay ones. Black same gender loving ones. Afrocentric. They put them folk out there. Find them. Partake of their wisdom and their comfort. All right. I'm signing off of this part of the show. I'll be back after a short break. Hey now, if you're wondering how to subscribe to the Sexual Healing Podcast, get on your favorite web browser and navigate over to www.sexualhealingpod.com. And on the right sidebar, you'll see all the ways you can subscribe to this show. Thank you for your support. All right, y'all. Dr. Pookie is back from a short break. And I want to get into our letters from listeners. We got two this week. The first one is from a gentleman that goes by the name Short Stack. I'm guessing you are a short little fire hydrant cutie that, you know, can be fun. But okay, I shouldn't be objectifying you. But, you know, it's what a good hoe does. But okay, Short Stack says, Dr. Pookie, I really need your help. I'm a black gay man. I live with my boyfriend and I love him. Lately, I felt isolated, very isolated in our home. He always finds a reason to complain or try to get me to cancel any plans that I have made with friends. If I do go out, then he calls or texts constantly. That's called a bugaboo, baby. And insecure as hell, but okay. When I ignore his calls or texts, then the argument and drama is even worse. 3 nights ago, we were arguing and he raised his hand at me like he was about to hit me. He didn't hit me because I didn't flinch and I stared his ass down. I want to love my nigga, not throw hands and tear up our shit. It's hard to walk away from what we've built together, and I do love him. However, I don't feel safe. What do you think I should do? Short Stack. Okay, so Short Stack, Dr. Pookie is basically going to give it to you straight. Leave that motherfucker. Leave him, period. Put together your escape plan if you need it, because it sounds like you do have a support network, but if you are being isolated and alienated from the people that you know, it may be a little more challenging for you to get away. It sounds like you guys are pretty well nested, so you may have a lot of stuff that you may not be able to pick up in one fell swoop and get up out of there, because it seems like he's watching you like a hawk. He's always on you. So if that's the case, I would advise you to go online and do a search for domestic violence escape plan. Consult Sister Shantae Google. Let her guide you to some valuable resources. An escape plan will give you a checklist of all the essentials that you need to have to get away from an abusive partner. If you are struggling to leave, which clearly on some level you are, because you have a couple of things on the table here. You got love. You might love him, but he don't love you. And if he wants to call that shit love, it's tainted, it's toxic, it's lethal. Leave that motherfucker. Next, you got stuff that you might not want to give up. It could be material possessions. It could be a lifestyle that you've grown accustomed to. I am hoping that you have your own financial resources. If not, that you have a couch that you can go sleep on, a floor, whatever it may be, or there's a shelter that you can go to. There's always a shelter for domestic violence survivors. Now, just because he hasn't hit you yet does not mean he won't. You staring him down might have an impact, but he's escalating. If you went out and sent his ass to voicemail, or he sent you all these texts and you didn't respond, and you walk in the door and, you know, he's talking crazy and shit, and that's what he's been doing. The next time you walk in the door and you hit that corner, you might get punched in your face. I don't want that to happen to you. And I'm pretty sure you don't either. And if it were to happen to you, it ain't your damn fault. It's not because you failed him in some way, or you're not a good enough partner or good enough man for him. The fact that you love him and you're trying to figure out a way to stay despite his bullshit could demonstrate your love, or it could demonstrate, you know, a codependency or pathology on your part. But you didn't sound particularly crazy. You know, what you've said in your letter is not atypical from what a lot of folks who are being abused will say. Thus far, the abuse has been psychological and emotional, it sounds like, and it's bordering on physical. So you're already being abused, baby. Get away from that motherfucker. What I want you to do is take a piece of paper out, draw a line down the middle of that bitch. On the left side, I want you to list all the things and all the reasons you can't leave. Just list them. When you're done with that, on the right side of the line that you've created. So before it was all the reasons that you can't leave, and then it was all the reasons that you need to leave. Survival is a base instinct. But you sound like a man who is certainly moved beyond the survival stage. So the material stuff that you might have to walk away from, you can get again. But on that list of reasons to leave, I want you to add safety, peace of mind, me. And for good measure, add breathing. Because if you stay, you're forfeiting all those things. And they're at the bottom of the pyramid. If you look at something like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, we need shelter, we need food, we need a sense of security. That's at the bottom of the pyramid. That's the base shit. If we don't have those things, the animal within us comes out. So he gonna start treating your ass like Fido. You want to be Rocky and Bullet and whatever else names for dogs? That's where it's headed. And when a dog don't do what you want it to do, you withhold food, you withhold benefits. You might even kick its ass. Because that's how he's going to start seeing you. He is grooming you to destroy you. The you that you think you are, he's trying to take that apart. Take it out. Because he don't like it. It's not going to submit to his will. And if you get into a battle of wills with someone you claim to love in that way, if it's family, you need to create a boundary and a distance there to protect yourself. You might still be in a relationship, but you might have to love them with a 10-foot pole. If it's a partner, you got to get the motherfucker away and stay away. Now, if you do leave and you come back for whatever reason, you're not alone. A lot of folks leave and come back and leave and come back. They might do this shit on average 7-8 times before they finally leave and stay gone. What I want you to think about, if you do manage to leave his ass and you think about going back because he done sweet talked you and he's in therapy and all these things. Here's one thing I want you to remember. When you are returning to an abuser, you are 78%. Is it 78 times or 78%? My numbers, the brain, it's not quite there. Let's just say you are much more likely to be killed or severely injured returning to an abuser. Now, it doesn't mean you will be, but there's a much larger chance of that. Take a look at things called the cycle of violence, short stack. It's a graphic if you don't want to do a lot of reading. Take a look at the wheel of control and power and the many variations on it, particularly the one about healthy relationships and unhealthy relationships. They're out there. The wheel of power for same-sex couples. Take a look at those resources. Sister Shantae Google will get you to all of them. All right. I wish you the best, short stack. Please, 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 if it's within your power, get away. Because it's only going to get worse. All right. Next up. Ooh, short stack. Baby, I love you. Get away. Next up is Cantankerisha. Girl, you crazy, but okay. She says, hey, Dr. Pookie, with the Q-U-I-E spelling. Yeah, I see you. You bougie. Yes, I am, girl. I embrace it. I know I am. I need a little advice. I think that my man is cheating on me, but I'm not sure. He be late and calling off shit we plan to do. And my homegirl, what is this? Homegirl? Okay, sister, you threw me off with this one. Oh shit, what are you trying to say here? And my homegirl spotted him having lunch with one of his coworkers. Oh, okay. I met the chick once, and she cute and all. Definitely fits his type. But he a good man. So I don't want to fuck shit up by starting a fight, then look like a crazy insecure bitch. But my gut is telling me something else. How can I know if my man is cheating on me? If he is, he will be cut. But a bitch is too cute to be in jail and shit. Cantankerisha. Okay, so Risha girl, Cantanker. Okay, love you dearly. I think we'd have fun over drinks. First thing I will say, if you have to question your man, is he really your man? I think it would be helpful for you to remind him of what he should not do, of how he needs to conduct himself in relationship with you. If he's falling short of that, then you need to let him know. Now, I don't know. You don't say exactly what it is that has your gut stirred up. The cute coworker, people have lunch with coworkers. The first thing I would ask is, does your homegirl like your man? Because there are some shady, tricky bitches out there that will say, oh yeah, I saw him, blah, 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 blah. You know, was it a one-on-one lunch? Were there four people at that lunch? Were there three people at that lunch? Or was it just two of them? Or did the lunch happen at all? Did you ask your man about the lunch? You know, you can say to him, hey, babe, okay, I need to chat with you right quick. So my girl saw you and your coworker at lunch, and it's looking a little shady, baby. So what's that about? Ask the question. Unless you're willing to ask him, you're going to create all kind of crazy shit in your head. So you got to ask him, what the hell was going on? Process it through that filter. If you know your man's tale about when he's lying, congratulations. Ask him the right questions. Find out what's really, really, really going on. Now, if he cheating, dump his ass. Walk away. You know, especially if you fucking him without condoms. Walk away. Or at least put that pussy on lock until testing is done. And then he on punishment. 90 days. Wrap it up. Strap it up. You could go 9 months if you want to. Punishment is punishment. But going back to this idea of how will I know if he's cheating on me? You got to ask him. You need to be able to have those kind of conversations. And when I say those kind of conversations, it's not the whole idea of, are you cheating on me? You need to be able to have the hard conversations where the answers might break your heart. But if you cannot talk to the man that's supposed to be the closest to you, that you are sizing up potentially as a life partner, that is your world, that's, you know, your best friend, the person that knows where the bodies are buried and won't ever drop a dime on you, you've got to be able to ask him tough questions. You've got to be able to say to him, look, you know, first of all, did you have lunch with her? Okay, was it just the two of you? All right, so I understand I'm not going to say anything improper happened. What I will say is it makes me feel uncomfortable and gives me reason to question your integrity. Now, I don't want to be in that type of relationship with you. So what I'm going to need you to do is and lay out your conditions. Now, don't get salty if he turns right around and lays out some conditions for you. But I think the first thing is to ask him the question. If he is cheating, girl, don't cut him. You can cut him out your life, but don't catch no case. You know, a cantankerisha, we need you out in the world, not behind bars. We need you out here, keeping shit real, okay? And you cute and stuff too? Yeah, we need you here, all right? So, sister, you know, don't go completely apeshit and just catch a case and all that. If you got to throw hands, if you got to cut your man, if you have to go through his phone, like inch high private eye, Lord, if you got to do all that, if you got to question him all the time, where you been, the relationship is in jeopardy. Y'all not communicating enough. The whole idea of him missing stuff and, you know, not showing up or canceling on you at the last minute, you basically can say to him, like, babe, that, you know, you can say, look, I feel like you're getting a little sloppy with my feelings. So in case you didn't know, these things really bother me. This breaks my heart, you know, because I had really set aside that time to spend with you. And I thought it was going to be just us. And not only did you not show up, you waited to the last second to say I ain't coming. Or you showing up late as hell. I said be there at 7. We had reservations, you know, at 7:15. And you showing up at like 8. That's not acceptable. Because what I had planned for us to do to show my love for you as my man, you basically shit on it. So what I need you to do is let me know whether or not you really want to do things. If you do want to do them, protect that time. Don't let nobody fuck that time up. Unless your mama in the hospital. Unless your daddy didn't die. That I understand. Otherwise, should nobody else be coming before me? So get the priorities straight. Am I a top priority? Am I the top priority or not? Where do I fall? So I know. And if you fall below anybody, frankly, you know, I mean, some people would say if you fall below God, that's cool. But if this, you know, but if your man is not a God-centered person or he's not a theist, you know, where he believes in a God of some kind and worshiping them and all being present for that is first and then you come next, then you cool. But if his mama there, if his uncle is before you, that's a problem. Because at the very least, you need to know where you stand. Now, if his father needs his assistance, he's a caregiver to his father, then the two of you need to talk. You need to sit down and talk and say, look, okay, so babe, here's the deal. This is what my dad needs from me, and I'm in a position to provide it, but I know it's going to impact our relationship. So I want to hear from you on, you know, what, let's work this out. Let's work through this. That's a totally reasonable conversation that you need to have. That's a hard conversation. That's a conversation where you might come out of it recognizing that you're going to fall behind God and dad, and then you're there. But, you know, the normal care and feeding of whatever dad, that's understood. An emergency with dad is understood. But maybe he can't cancel plans with you because dad wants to sit there and just chill. You know, when that happens, he needs to say, "Dad, look, I got plans with so-and-so, so I can meet up with you before that, but I'm leaving at a hard 5. Or we can push it to tomorrow." If there's something where dad needs to go to the doctor and you don't really need to be there, baby, you don't need to be there, then maybe we need to put dad in an Uber to get there because he's capable of getting into the office and all that. Let him retain some sense of independence, because sometimes you, as a caretaker, you might do too much. So that's part of your job as well, not just trying to reclaim the throne, so to speak, but also keeping an eye on your man's self-care and whether he's taking good care of himself as a caregiver. Because being a caregiver, it's some rough shit. Even when the person you're taking care of is high functioning, it's just, it wears on you. Because you want to make sure that person's okay and they have what they need. But here's the thing. You guys are taking care of one another. So he needs to know that he's taking care of you and that you got everything you need in this relationship. If some shit's missing, y'all need to talk about it and determine whether or not it's realistic for him, for you to demand that of him, and go from there. Goes both ways. Y'all are in this together, particularly once you're married. Okay? So have the hard conversations. Don't be afraid of the answers. Love yourself enough to walk into those conversations, understanding that you might have to walk away. It's not comfortable. I've had to do it. Shit ain't fun. It hurts. All right, Cantankerisha. I think I've talked long enough today. I'm pretty sure this episode's approaching 1.5 hours, but hell, it's what I do. All right, so I'm going to take a short break before closing things out for the week. So the doc is contemplating a new segment of the show. I'm affectionately calling it a hoe's history. So if you are one of those hoes out there that want to share a bit of your history, drop a brother a line at Dr. Pookie on Twitter. That's DocTorPoukuie. I look forward to hearing from y'all, my fellow hoes. Best to you.
All right, so the doctor is back in. If you have a letter, question, comment, situation, complicated relationship that you want to get another perspective on, reach out to a brother. Email sexualhealingpod@gmail.com or find a brother on Twitter at Dr. Pookie. Once again, that's DocTorPoukuie. That's me. Now, let's get into a little bit of news. The first thing is me being raggedy. I'm just going to own it. I was doing reviews of Pose, and child, I've not been able to watch it since Dear Candy. I've not been able to reconnect. I watched like the first 5 minutes of the next episode, and I just couldn't handle it. I just said I can't do it. Eventually, I will binge watch and catch up. I have been seeing some stuff online that looks quite intriguing, so I may binge watch and catch up, but right now, I'm not that old. I can't do it. So I'm now 5 episodes behind, and I will own that my shit's raggedy. 4 or 5 episodes, but so the reviews would not be happening. Perhaps I will catch up and do a mega review and just kind of talk through the series, but yeah, I'm not doing it right now. Next thing, hashtag arrest Ed Buck, hashtag put that motherfucker in jail, hashtag party and play is not your friend. Ed Buck out here in LA still targeting the young, allegedly, pardon me, targeting black gay men of various ages. Some that are sex workers, some that are not. Some that may or may not be addicts. Meth seems to be the drug of choice that Ed allegedly likes to inject and watch and see what it does to you. Yeah. Under the jail, Ed. That's where your ass needs to be. I haven't heard anything new other than they had these new charges potentially. And what is it? Revenge porn charges. So with the first young man. So we'll see what happens. But for the time being, I am in solidarity with the Superman, Ed Buck, under the jail. All right. Now it's time for the tragic part of the show. I hate to leave you with the heaviness, but shit, that's life. This is a memorial roll call of our transgender, non-binary, and gender non-conforming siblings that we have lost this year. I'm just going to say their names to keep them in our consciousness in some way and in our prayers for their families, as well as for them and for those others that are out there that are in danger. Dana Martin, Jazalyn Ware, Ashanti Carmon, Claire Legatum, Malaysia Booker, Michelle Tamika, Paris Cameron, Chanel Lindsay, Chanel Skurlock, Zoe Spears, Brooklyn Lindsay. And since the last time we talked, we have to add Denali Berries Stuckey, Kiki Thon Troy, Jordan Kofer, Pebbles LaDime Doe, or you can just call her Dime, Johanna Medina, Laylene Polanco. Most of the folks that I've referenced are people of color, except for Jordan Kofer, who was killed in the shooting rampage in Dayton, Ohio. The proliferation of handguns and weapons in our country, and the preponderance of alienated and disaffected white men using them to target, in some cases, ethnic minorities and folks that they believe that are, quote, invading the country. The folks that are engaging in these mass shootings because they're disaffected and feel like their place in the world that they were told was theirs, that this world was theirs, this country was theirs. I say to you, primarily Caucasian gentlemen, your caucasity is blinding. It's bullshit. This world has always been yours. But guess what? It's not being invaded. This country's not being invaded. This country allegedly was founded on the idea of a melting pot. I remember them teaching us that shit in junior high school. And it was reiterated again in high school history. So I'm confused as to how bringish you're tired and you're poor and you're weary. And I think it's like struggling for a better life, maybe. They're coming in. And guess what? By and large, they are regular folks busting their asses to make a better life for themselves. They are running from something else, and they're coming here for asylum, and you won't even process that shit correctly. Yet they're invading. So the struggle, if you want to call it that, of so many white men who have decided it's best to just slash out and kill people, eat a dick, bitch. Eat all the motherfucking dicks, especially the olive colored ones, the brown ones, and the espresso colored ones. Hell, even Cherrywood and Birch. Eat all the dicks. Get some fucking help. Take responsibility for your failures in your life. Don't blame other people. This shit was designed for you to get ahead, and if you didn't, don't blame the folks that are behind you. Don't blame the folks of color that actually handled their shit and got ahead of you in this game. Own your shit. Do better. Or as our tired-ass First Lady likes to say, be best, or something like that. All right, y'all, the doc is signing off. A bitch needs some water for this dry-ass throat and these dry-ass sinuses. I don't know where my water bottle is. But it was great talking with you. Hopefully there was a blessing in there for you somewhere. And again, sending out my best to Shortstack and Cantankerisha, whomever you might be in real life, and sending out a blessing to all of you that have survived the various forms of abuse out there, and that hopefully, if you've managed to break the silence, it has helped you and empowered you. And if you are still silent, I pray that you find your voice and that motherfucker is loud as hell. Be your best. Love you. Take care of you. Because you the only you that you get. All right? Can't pour from an empty cup. Just can't do it. All right. Love y'all. Dr. Pookie signing off. Please share this episode, particularly with those that might be in bondage. We all need to be free, damn it. All of us. Take care. Have a good rest of the week. And be sure to get you all the sex and healing you can this weekend. Take care. Love you.